Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Today, we're going to cover predominantly Gateshead FC. The reason that we're doing that is, one, it's my football club, not mine specifically, but the one I support. And two, you'll have seen how cock-a-hoop I've been if you tune in regularly about potential for promotion, Wembley, all of that. Well, I think to set the scene, I made a short video yesterday. And I'm going to play that as part of this live stream. And then we've got a lot of fresh stuff that's happened today, stuff from Heed fans that they want to discuss, all that kind of stuff. So that's what we're going to do. Do us a favor, though. Reason I started a little late, there's a problem with audio. So just let us know whether this video is playing for you. And the quicker you can do it, the better. Cheers. Hello, everybody. Hope you're doing canny. I'm about to make a video about Gateshead FC, the club I support, which is something I hoped I'd never have to do. For those who don't know, I'm Mike Cow. I write about politics, make podcasts. You might have heard the Milk Cow podcast or the Cow Daily podcast. I'll tell you what else I do at the end of the show as well, and it might be relevant to the offer that we'll make. Anyway, what I feel like we need to do is break down what's actually happening in terms of how money works in the UK, in terms of block grants. It comes from central government and comes down through local authorities. From the jump, people who watch my content, who read the things that I write, know I've got no love for the Labour or Conservative Party. So let's get that off from the jump. I just believe truth's important, definitely when it comes to the club. Anyway, this from the Journal, for people who don't know what's happened. Shockers club is denied chance to reach the league. Authorities say stadium issue rules them out. There's some good news, though. You can get £5 off at Dobby's Garden Centre up the top. Cheers, Journal. Anyway, Mark Crothers, a peerless non-league writer in the North East for sure. Excellent work he does. Anyway, check him out. Breaking, Gateshead Council respond to the AFL statement confirming Gateshead FC cannot participate in the National League playoffs over an issue with the 10-year security of tenure at the International Stadium. There's a stadium there. We all know what it looks like. So anyway, since 2010, Gateshead Council has faced significant reductions in its block grant. The council has had to make budget cuts totaling £207.5 million over the last 14 years, which is equivalent to almost 68% of its net revenue budget. This has resulted in Gateshead having £1,050 less to spend per resident compared to 2010. These cuts have necessitated a range of savings measures and the use of reserves to address the funding gap. The block grant comes from Westminster. Westminster has been controlled by the Tories since 2010. When people talk about austerity, this is what they mean. UK austerity refers to government policies aimed at reducing national deficit through spending cuts and tax increases affecting public services and welfare initiated post-2008 financial crisis. It's marked by significant debate over socioeconomic impact. I'm going to detail what that means for Gateshead locally, the council budget, and on a national level in terms of comparison, so you can see that this is a national thing. So anyway, this has meant the Labour-controlled council has had to make savings as detailed above. If it's a choice between social care versus our stadium, it is, then we aren't getting our stadium. This is because of the Conservative Party in government, as you can see by the figures presented. I'm going to present some more as well. So this is the state of play currently for the stadium that we know about anyway publicly. Gateshead International Stadium's ownership status. The ownership of the stadium may transition to private management due to budget constraints faced by Gateshead Council. Council's action, an external contractor sought to operate the council's sports facilities, including the stadium. We've just seen the transfer of Gateshead Leisure Centre go over this week as well. Financial details, the council anticipates a £50 million deficit over 5 years. The stadium requires £4 million in repairs and £11 million to operate over the next decade. This is the key thing, actually, in terms of the decisions that had to be made. Anyway, public disclosure. This situation was publicly disclosed on the 22nd November 2023. Some of the UK councils declared bankrupt in the last year. Birmingham, Slough, Croydon, Thurrock, Woking and Nottingham. That's not Gateshead yet. I don't know what the situation is. So anyway, just as a comparison with Gateshead, Birmingham City Council, budget shortfall since 2010, £760 million. Population, 1,141,374. Shortfall per head, 665,048. Woking, budget shortfall, 1.2 billion. Population 101,167. Shortfall per head £2,857.14. Gates said budget shortfall 207.5 million. Population 197,722. Shortfall per head 1,050. Just give you a few examples, which I feel are quite important. There are a variety of different parties, Labour and the Tories, who are managing those councils. So you can see it doesn't actually matter when the money comes down from Westminster. It's the best way of putting it is this. If your housing budget, which everybody's budget, like during cost of living, has reduced massively, we're not going to be able to spend on certain things. You know, it's just a fact. And if we're going to have to, like, by law, spend on certain things, as we'll detail later, then we're not going to be able to spend on sport and leisure. Anyway, just on some rumours, this is now again Sean. Sean's a lad who follows my social media. Heard that the email from council sat in the club's junk mail email and was missed, causing it not to be submitted before the deadline. Asked for a source. I don't know if that's true or not, but what we know is this. This is from North East Heritage Library. Thanks to them for the link. This provides context in a nutshell. So what you see on the screen says this. These are from legal documents, and I'll link the source next. I was on 5th of April 2024 provided with a number of additional documents. I considered appropriate that I should take the contents of these documents into account when making my decision. These are a letter from Gateshead Council to GFC dated 28th of March 2024. This states that insofar as it is able to and on condition that GFC gains a promotion to the AFL, GC is committed to afford Gateshead Football Club with security of tenure for a minimum of 10 football seasons, i.e. from GFC's 2024 season up to and including GFC's 34-35 season. Gateshead Council has granted the GFC a two-year licence, which can be renewed on a rolling basis. However, this is subject to Gateshead Council no longer operating the stadium, in which case it shall have the right to give GFC 12 months' notice to vacate. I confirm that I've taken the full contents of this letter account. B, an email chain between GFC and the AFL, in which the AFL have considered the contents of the GC letter, states, while this is a positive development, unfortunately, it is not enough to satisfy the league that the qualifying criteria has been met. We would need to see something more formal and binding, i.e. a lease license agreement between the club and the council documenting the 10-year security of tenure. Even if in draft form for now, given we know the council's looking to sell the site, we'd expect this to include an assignment clause to ensure the lease license continues under any new ownership. The council appears to be okay with this. As to the ongoing arbitration, we're not in a position to dispense with this. Ultimately, the league's decision concerned the qualifying criteria by the deadline on the 1st of March 2024. The club was not able to do so. We must ensure that we apply the rules consistently. We'd only be in a position to give this further consideration if we had a binding agreement, and even then, the matter would have to be referred to the board, given we are well past the deadline. So that's what we know so far. That's the link there. It's got the URL at the top. So if you want to go and read the whole thing yourself, go for it. Anyway, just moving on. So anyway, talking about a legal budget, like what would potentially be asking the Gateshead Council to do is submit an illegal budget. And what that means is if a UK council submits an illegal budget, it risks legal action, financial instability, and government intervention. This has happened in Liverpool, actually. Public trust and the council's reputation could also be significantly damaged. Statutory services, this means things they have to provide legally. Sport and leisure is not one of them. Statutory services that must be provided include education, social care for children and adults, waste collection, housing, road maintenance, and libraries. These are essential for community well-being. So anyway, health and social consequences of austerity. The benefits are wealthier individuals and corporations. Why? Austerity policies led to cuts in welfare, social services, and healthcare budgets, impacting the most vulnerable. Life expectancy stopped growing, and for women in poor areas, it actually fell. Additional spend on social care was more effective in saving lives than equivalent healthcare spending. So anyway, this is what we're interested in. Impact on community recreation. Beneficiaries, corporations, and the wealthy. Why? Councils reduced spending on sports development and community recreation by 59% per person over the same period. Spending on parks and open spaces decreased by a third. Community centres and public halls faced a 39% cut, and library spend was halved since 2010-11. So you can see, since the Tories got in 2010, they've launched these austerity measures. Even the United Nations said they were unnecessary and fiscally irresponsible, and also caused unnecessary suffering to people in poorer areas, like Gates said. So anyway, just to summarise, Gates's council has faced significant reductions in its block grant funding since 2010. 207.5 million budget cuts over the last 14 years, equivalent to almost 68% of their net revenue budget. Currently, they have £1,050 less to spend per resident compared to 2010. Despite using reserves, they estimate a need for savings of approximately £49.5 million over the next 5 years. So the new devolution deal for the Northeast, this is the new mayor, and this is where a potential solution might come from. The new devolution deal for the Northeast, announced on the 28th of December 2023, includes a £1.4 billion investment fund over the next 30 years. The fund is intended to empower the new mayor of the Northeast with money and powers to level up the region, including Gateshead. The deal covers various aspects such as skills, transport, housing, and includes a funding pot for place-based regeneration across the region. My view is this. I don't know. I haven't seen sight of what the documents are around the stadium. We need to start thinking about a stadium. Well, I know we've been thinking about it, but I'd fail to see where else we can go with this if we're looking to get promoted, unless, of course, something happens with the council, which is highly, highly unlikely given the budget constraints, as we've seen. So anyway, on the Mayor Fund, well, the specifics of how this fund will be allocated are not detailed as yet. It is possible that some of the investment could be made available for projects like a new stadium for Gateshead, should it align with the broader goals of the regional development and economic growth. The decision would ultimately rest with the new mayor and the local councils involved in the devolution deal. So obviously a different sport, but something built recently, the Newcastle Eagles basketball stadium known as the Vertu Motors Arena was a significant project for the community. The cost and fund details are as followed. Cost $9 million to build. The funding, and this is why I want to show you it, between the Eagles Community Foundation and Newcastle City Council, with contributions from the Northeast Local Enterprise Partnership, Sport England, and Newcastle College. So obviously with links with the college, is there potential for exploring these different potential ways to redevelop? I don't know. The fans haven't seen sight of this or don't know what the conversations are behind the scenes. So anyway, this is a recent one. They haven't actually announced how much it is yet, but plans lodged for Sheffield FC and Sheffield Eagles Rugby League Stadium. There's a CGI image of the proposed stadium on the screen. So what it says, the stadium will encompass professional football and rugby league facilities, as well as a cricket pavilion, multi-use artificial sports pitches, a football museum, and an indoor community sports hall. Long-term commercial viability is set to be achieved by maximising public access and community use through health and well-being activities, educational programmes, social and other community events. The proposed 5,000-capacity stadium is designed to meet both Football League and Super League criteria and will enable the clubs to consolidate their full range of sport and education, community and cultural activities on its purpose-built site. In addition to both clubs' men and women's teams, Sheffield Eagles' wheelchair, learning disability and physical disability teams will all be based at the complex, which will allow the club to further develop homegrown talent and provide a base for both clubs' community programmes. Obviously, it's a big ask. We're a small club with a small fan base, but we've won before, and I know this, if we don't try, or at least try and push this forwards, then we cannot win. So we've got to try. Nobody's expecting anybody to have all the answers. And something I want to make clear, like, it's almost an impossible situation, and it's all budgetary. Let's not look to the past or try and apportion blame. There's a lot of energy in the fan base, and I honestly think if we direct that properly, we can actually do great things here. Recriminations and all that, waste of time. So anyway, an offer. We have a wealth of talent in the fan base, and this is directed at the board specifically. Nobody's blaming you. Well, I hope not, at least. But what we definitely do need to do is have more transparency. We need to know about this wherever possible, so we can access the wealth of talent in the fan base. I know for a fact there's people who would be willing to help. I myself have just done 2 elected terms on the board of the Independent Media Association. My background, I've worked on community asset transfers, et cetera, et cetera. So that was then, this is now. My offer is this. Co-opt some people onto the board for this period. If you want to know this, how you do it, fill out form AP01. That's for a certain period of time. Because there is a wealth of knowledge, skills, and experience, I myself will donate some time to the club until this period is over and help wherever I can with these type of things. I know that people will do the same. I'd like to see this put out to the entire fan base where people can put expressions of interest out to help. All the best fan-owned clubs do this. So if we're going to call ourselves that, let's be it and let's actually access the fan base who are dying to help. But before that, and the most important thing, these lads on that pitch all season, the management, the coach and staff, everybody, they deserve the day at Wembley. They deserve it to be just about that and trying to win that trophy. And that's what we can all rally around as a fan base. I mean, it's not going to be easy, but I definitely think there's hope. So over to yous, really. That's the situation. I believe truth's important, and I certainly believe that we can actually not only help the club survive, but actually evolve the club. And sometimes just these things are the best thing that could possibly happen. We've been here worse before. We've been here again. Here we are. But if we all pull together, we'll definitely win. I'm going to be doing some Gateshead-related stuff probably on my wider show, Cow Daily, going forward. So if you want to know more, youtube.com/Cow Daily.
That's the kid. Right, we're back. What a lovely lad he was, eh? What a lovely lad. Now, it's all about austerity and Gateshead. What a lovely lad. I'm back anyway. I'm doing a different hat and a different hoodie. Nice to see everybody. Thanks for everybody with your comments and all of that. JC, no, not that one. Mooning back at you, my friend. So basically, since I made that video yesterday, I thought as part of the sort of wider regularly scheduled programming, I'd include it just to bring people up to speed. Also, I'm going to sort of bring you up to date with what's happening now. And it's not just about Gateshead FC. This show might be titled Austerity Shadow Removes Gateshead FC's Promotion Hopes. But this is about anybody around the country because austerity is a national thing. And as you saw in that little video, I've detailed some of the different budgets and bankruptcies with other councils. Gateshead Council's not there yet, but I say yet because, as you've seen, the situation isn't great. So anyway, since then, there was a protest outside Gateshead Civic Centre last night. Well done to all the young clothesline lads and everybody else who turned up. This is important, and I'll tell you from my perspective why I feel it's important. Councillors, in my experience of working in the sector, really, really don't like it, particularly just before an election when they're protested against. And the way the fan base are collectivising this, they're putting it all on the council, which, as we've seen, it isn't that simple. It's about austerity and about block grants. I've just explained it to you on the video I've just played, so I'll not go any deeper. There's people outside the Civic there. Big up them. Absolutely fantastic. Stand up for the club. And it's really important we have a street movement like this who is there and is putting the pressure on people who can reverse decisions. And I tell you, what a politically expedient time to be doing it for the reasons I've just given. So anyway, it's nice to see Gateshead Green Party come out strong. And this is what they've said. Gateshead Green Party is shocked by the news about Gateshead FC. To play in the Football League, clubs are required to have a 10-year ground lease with no strings attached, which the current council owners are unable to guarantee for Gateshead FC. My family go to Gateshead FC, home and away games, as do many of the members of Gateshead Greens. If I'm elected, I'll not represent the views of the Labour-led council, but we'll be able to challenge their decisions independently. My starting point is that Gateshead FC is the best tenant for the stadium and a promoted Gateshead FC would be an attractive proposition for any future operators of the stadium. We would argue for a not-for-profit partner with all profits returned to the public for the benefit of leisure and sports at all levels, including Gateshead FC. Finally, people who get it. The Green Party go on. A successful football team will attract more investment in the Gateshead and benefit other local businesses. If I'm elected, I will have so much more opportunity to challenge the council and the English Football League on your behalf. It's hard to quantify how having a local team contributes to a community, but we know when Gateshead played at Wembley, they took thousands of fans and they gave a real buzz to the whole of the town. We need to find a way to preserve this. Rachel Cabral, local election candidate for Bridges. People are saying, like, oh, you know, vote Labour out and all that. As a voting block, as a group of fans, we can strategize this and make it have the most impact. And if there's Gateshead fans watching or listening to this, which I'm sure there is, just give us a shout. We can really strategize this and make it
something that's targeted. And what will not surprise you though, the only anti-austerity party that can win currently in respect to the other anti-austerity smaller ones is the Greens. So for this moment in time now, what Gateshead fans need to be doing is getting behind the Green Party, because I can tell you this, and people who like watch or listen to this regularly will know, I've had direct dealings with the Green Party from the top level at the deputy leader to the local parties and all of that. And what will also not surprise people who tune in regularly, I'm always at war with one politician or another. It gets personal sometimes. You might not know. Green Party have been mint. And especially given what's happened over the last few years, for me to be saying these type of positive things about a party, never mind a stretch to a candidate, but it's a stretch to a party, is massive. But truth's important. And the only people who have anything for us tangible, which could have stopped this, well, now at least, are the Greens. So that's what we're saying. Vote Green. So anyway, had this. This was leaked from the council's intranet. Dear colleague, the National Football League announced yesterday that following a decision of the English Football League, AFL, Gateshead Football Club has failed to meet the entry criteria for membership of the AFL. Any mention of why? Gateshead Council internal email leaked to us. As a result, Gateshead FC will not be permitted to participate in the playoffs this season, etc., etc. Okay. Also, somebody sent us this email, which they sent to one of the people who's on the board of the AFL, and they said this. This is Ian Cheatham. Thanks, Ian. Dear Mr. Cheatham, I did receive your note, and I do empathise with your heartfelt feelings. As I understand, Evette, he says, the club appealed this decision, but the appeal was dismissed by an independent arbitrator on 9th of April 2024. Also, I believe this is the second year that the club has failed to meet the criteria, which must be even more frustrating. Kind regards, Charles Grant. Clearly, if Charles on the board of the AFL, also chair of crew, Alexandra Football Club, is saying this, then the board needs to answer those questions, and they need to answer them directly, and that's the board of Gateshead Football Club. I mean, obviously, I said in the video I made yesterday, like, hope nobody's blaming the board, and I hope not. But at the same time, we need transparency and we need clarification of what's happened and what the process has been. And the reason is this. Fans have spent money following the club up and down the country, quite often with the sniff of promotion in the nostrils. That's a hell of a commitment to the club. And ultimately, the fans are the club. And I didn't need to tell it to the board. The board are fans, which is why I'd suggest to the... Because, you know, it's bloody witch hunt time, isn't it, with the fans? I'd suggest, right, those people were the people who stepped up and put their hands in their pockets and saved the club. If they've made a mistake, we need to give them the opportunity to make good and not judge, like we would maybe the Callas of this world, who would do it from a nefarious standpoint. Reason is, I know for a fact that the people on the board are Gateshead through and through. Maybe they don't, like, you know, have the required skills and experience, but who would ask them to? Football administration is hard. That's why there's degrees in it. Do you know what I mean? There's a hell of a lot of clubs, and it's a volunteer board too. So I'm appealing to the whole fan base. Don't be all like giving it 9 out at the board constantly, because at the end of the day, they'll be working hard, and they are working hard to try and fix anything that might have happened. But if it is, at least in part, down to them, come out and say. If it's not, come out and say strongly, because we all need to unite, and that needs leadership. So that's what you're there for. So let me know, man. There's a lot of support. But the longer this drags on, you know what like Chinese whispers are like, and I'm telling you, it'll get bad. So please put a statement out. So anyway, there's something new that's happened since yesterday, and I was asked by a friend to explain what this is. So basically, I'm going to read it out. Gateshead have invoked FA Rule K against the National League and the EFL, the Football League. So FA Rule K pertains to the arbitration process within the Football Association. According to the FA rules, any dispute between two or more participants, which includes players, managers, clubs, and agents operating within English football, must be resolved through arbitration under the FA rules. Specific rule details of Rule K and its procedural rules are outlined by the FA, address disputes referring to arbitration. So as I understand it, what Gates said, as a club have asked the FA to do, is operate as like an umbrella arbitration organization to settle the dispute between Gateshead and the league we're in, the National League and the Football League, which is what we want to get into. So it'll be interesting to see what occurs from that. We're supposed to be playing tonight in the playoffs, right? And some of what entertaining that it might still happen. If it does get announced, can somebody tell us? Because we are live. Anyway, something that I just thought was mint funny. So even more surreal turn in the Gateshead FC promotion saga. The lad from the Heat who used to be a bouncer and now claims to be a world expert on 5G says that asking Kim McGuinness, the Labour candidate for the North East of England mayor, to help is a waste of time because she knows that the vaccine is a bioweapon. It's not. I swear, being from Gateshead at class, if it's not Heisties on the pitch, still a better halftime show than Janet Jackson at the Super Bowl. It's self-anointed global 5G experts trying to insert conspiracy theories into the mix. Don't ever change, Gateshead. Don't ever change. Don't ever change, Gateshead. That's just a fantastic bit of crack that. There he is there on Gateshead's post. Needs removing. They've already refused to look into the crime of excess deaths from the you-know-what in Florida. They found out, no, it hasn't. Mark, be quiet. Anyway, I'll come back to that one. 2 seconds. I'll just pull these out because I've got a few more for you. Right. A couple of things on austerity. And as you've seen in the video I made yesterday, like underpins quite a lot of what's being said. So this meme on the screen for audio listeners, frontline workers are not heroes. They're hostages. And it's somebody pointing to go and work or starve. That is austerity. People wouldn't be going into a lot of these jobs now if they didn't need the money just to barely survive. So that is a result of austerity. That is a result of like removing a lot of rights. That, as a follow-on to that, and it, again, I have no political truck either way for your new viewer, is down to Brexit, and it's down to removing of workers' rights. So more and more sick pay is taken away because one of the good things about the EU is that French unions made it so there's better workers' rights. And that has just basically been rinsed now. So that is a result of austerity and then the propaganda and then into Brexit. So anyway, one of the things I'd like to show you as well is some things from Heat fans here. So Emerson Chambers, I put a post out in a Heat supporters group, so I'm pulling this up. How do we move forward? How do we get a new stadium? Which groups of individuals will invest? Now, nobody has all the answers at the minute. Emerson Chambers, I believe you're a Will Wright in service. Whatever your name is, all the best to you. Nobody has all the answers now, but never let a good crisis go to waste. If this hadn't come to light, I doubt that there would have been this like wide-ranging conversation about the need and how pressing it is for the stadium. I tried raising this 6 months ago, obviously in Heat supporters groups, but also just more widely, and it was just crickets. And I can understand, because if the team are playing well on the pitch, a lot of people don't want to know. And I'll be honest, I raised it. Nobody was really interested. And then I just wanted to watch the football, because the last thing I want to be doing is like having Gateshead FC as part of my work. I cover politics. It's why it's been covered. And how this is, as I say, for anybody who has covered this stuff, or as I used to work in community sector, know austerity was the starting point in 2010, which has led to a chain of events to this. So how do we move forward? We definitely need more transparency from the board from the start. And as I said in the video I made yesterday, I really feel like the need to put out to the wider fan base, because of the wealth of talent in the fan base, and ask for temporary co-options to the board, specialists who can help around this kind of stuff. As I've said, I've worked on community asset transfers. If there's a way we can pull that together, we should be getting the heads together and working it out. I'd really like that to happen, because like when things like this go a bit wrong, I think sometimes people run around and try and fix it in good grace too. And they do that from a position of stress. I think over this next period, that's the starting point. Also, fully involving the fans via the Gateshead Soul. For people who don't know, that's the supporters group. And I definitely think there needs to be a Gateshead Soul emergency meeting. That's a fact. Because we can't go forward in the next season without at least assurances that we can bloody be promoted. For all of that, that comes with that. If we get that dialed in, then we've got a business model. Because I think the business model for the Heat is great. taking these young loan players, polish up the diamonds, and then either put them back to bigger clubs as a more polished talent, and then that looks good for us, or we're getting players who coming out of youth, the youth at Newcastle, Sunderland, etc., polishing them up and selling them on, like Macaulay Langstaff. It's a sustainable model because of the coaching staff that we've got. You can look at, like I mentioned, Crewe Alexandra under Dario Grady. That was a model. Also, the continuity model of Swansea. So from that side of things, keeping like Mags, Rob, Louis Story, carrying on the work of Mike and Busted. Simple as that. So we need to keep those people for a start. In terms of a stadium, as I've detailed in the other video, there's ways of doing it. Dorking as well, they got local authority funding. They got funding from Sport England. If this is something that people are serious about, then I'm up for getting involved and donating some time to help. And I know that people are. So that's the starting point, Emerson Chambers. I think we need to just draw a line under what's happened and get everybody together to move forward, because it's the club. There's like all of this recriminations and dummy spitting and all of this. It's you know, we need that for a few days, but I think it's time to move on, because time is of the essence. And it was 6 months ago when I first brought it up. So anyway, just something I want to read out from John Goodwin. He sent an email to the council, to the leader, Martin Gannon. He's a Labour Party guy. So this is what John says. My email to the council covers the main issues for me. Martin Gannon's tweet from Sunday morning stated we can't agree a 10-year licence until that procurement exercise is concluded. Your statement from later in the day read, the assurances included a 10-year agreement between the council and Gateshead Football Club. Please can I ask you to explain which of these positions was correct, and if they are both correct, to explain the nuance of that. In addition, I note from the latest statement that the agreement that appears to exist includes a break clause in the agreement to ensure that any new operator is able to negotiate new terms with the club. Please can I ask how this is in any way represents security of tenure, as the council case appears to be resting on the fact that it has in fact offered the club some kind of security of tenure. Great question. Finally, please can you confirm that there was no provision in the procurement exercise, e.g. is an essential criterion for any new operator to meet for a Gateshead FC sitting tenancy to be guaranteed either at all for the 10 years. Would be interesting to actually see what local authority procurement rules are saying. If not, please can you explain the rationale for not including such a provision as suggested by myself and others in our responses to last year's consultation exercise, and also self-evidently the right thing to do with regard to protection of the borough's locally owned professional football club. Spot on that, like, and I'd really like the council to answer that directly. And because it's an email to a public authority worker, they have to respond, and they have to respond in a timely fashion because they're an elected member. And I know this because I used to work in the field as a consultant on behalf of communities with local authorities. So anyway, further from the Heat fans, Sam Clark. The issue seems to be that the league would accept the council agreeing a 10-year tenure, meaning that any sale or transfer would include the club as sitting tenants. So the stadium would have to be kept as a sports facility. By not offering this, it sounds like they have a different plan, such as selling the land for property development. Lack of transparency is the most frustrating issue. Fully agree with you, Sam. And that's definitely something that I'll be monitoring. There's these things called subject access requests. And because it's a local authority, and this is why it stands us in a good position, we can access this information by putting in subject access requests. So if everything has to be recorded, that like all these decisions under the local authority, it has to be recorded what was said, who said it, and when they said it, because they work for us, we elect them. So we do have, currently at least, the Tories might end up taking it away, leverage and means to find these things out. So if it comes to it, that's what we're doing. But anyway, Phil Blakeburn says, with the elimination games meant to be tonight and tomorrow, is there any chance of this realistically being overturned and allowed us to compete? Phil, my heart says yes, definitely. We'll find out any time. And my head says probably not. But I could be speaking on this and there's some mad announcement. Because let's be honest, we're all Gateshead fans and we absolutely know how wild it is. People just don't know. It's the ultimate roller coaster and it makes you just constantly nauseous. Like, but to going from like making the playoffs to this the day later is just inexcusable, man. But it is what it is, I guess. So anyway, what I want to show you is this. It's very rarely anything other than this symbol. This is from a documentary, right? Hold on a minute. I've got to re-add it again because I've got a notification that's took the audio out. See, the other day, regulars, you know, when he was watching, that's why the audio didn't come in. It was a problem with StreamYard, apparently. If you're just tuning in, you'll really not care. But anyway, this is from a documentary back in the day, and it's Rishi Sunak, right? So it's Rishi Sunak. I have friends who are aristocrats, and I have friends who are class. I have friends who are, you know, working class, well, not working class. And this is from a documentary from 2001 when he was, I think, a teenager. He was really young. And I just want to play this because this is what these people think of us. This is how they're brought up. And this is how, what they think. So check this.
I have friends who are aristocrats. I have friends who are upper class. I have friends who are, you know, working class, but I'm not working class, but. I have friends who are aristocrats. I have friends who are upper class. I have friends who are, you know, working class, but I'm not working class. But I have friends who are aristocrats. I have friends who are upper class. I have friends who are, you know, working class, but I'm not working class. But
so there you go. These people, and I include the Keir Starmers of this world and all of those people, are two cheeks of the same arse. They're the same thing. And, we need to approach this on that basis. Simple as that. I mean, this year, this meme gives you an idea. This is also austerity. Poo in the rivers under the Tories, the hard left so-called calling for no poo in the rivers. Half poo in rivers under Sir Keir. This is what I'm saying. We'll get just half the shit in the rivers. And that's why we need to move away from Labour and the Tories, because as I've detailed, the money comes from central government, and since 2010, it's been slashed. But at the same time, we're not seeing the Labour Party fight that. They've never fought austerity, so it's also their fault. So we need to move away from that. And given that the Greens are the only realistic gig in town, it's what we'll have to gam for. What else is austerity? This. If you work hard, put in the hours, and do this every day, your boss can live here. For audio people, it's a lovely view looking out over the sea. And that's austerity. We've been propagandized by successive governments that, like, you work hard and you can have everything. You know, you have a house, raise a family, all that. That's not true anymore. And from a household budget perspective, you can apply that also to council budgets, but with a key difference. They can actually do something about it and fight it. They can't, as I detailed in the video, submit an illegal budget, but they can do more than just as the National Labour Party are doing or not doing, which is just agreeing with the Tories. So, you know, vote Greens. And also the conspiracy theories and whatever. The ruling class is the ruling class. You don't need conspiracy theories. They're bad enough as it is without all people like lobbing conspiracy theories into the mix. So there's one thing I wanted to point out about austerity. We had opportunities, and this is one of them. So the last election, Jeremy Corbyn's manifesto included a commitment to insource public and local council services, increase access to leisure, arts and sports across the country, and expand the public controlled bus network. Additionally, he advocated for a $1 billion capital investment into the leisure estate to bring it up to modern design and environmental standards, addressing both health inequalities and climate change targets. His vision aimed to create a healthier, more active nation through accessible and well-maintained sport and leisure facilities. Even now, right, there's Tory activists in the Heed's private group trying to give us shit. One of them insinuating that he wanted to have a fight with us. So I told him I train 5 days a week. Yeah. So anyway, that's the crack. Basically, that propaganda stopped people who are probably listening to this now, like, you know, obviously if you just knew we gated support or whatever, you may not have voted for the thing that would have saved this now. And I'm not blaming you, because it was one of the most sophisticated and wide-ranging propaganda exercises to demonize Corbyn that you've ever seen. But let's not make the same mistake again. Currently, it's not the Labour Party, because that all changed and the people running it now absolutely hate working class people. For me, the only gig in town, as I've said, is the Greens. What else could we have got? 10 pledges to rebuild and transform Britain. Full employment and an economy that works for all. The secure homes guarantee, security works, secure NHS and social care, national education service open to all, action to secure our environment, put the public back in our economy and services, cut income and wealth inequality, action to secure an equal society, peace and justice at the heart of foreign policy. Right, the Greens, they're offering that now. It's what we're getting. One of the things I wanted to point out here, which I thought was class, on Thursday, Highgate United needed to win by 12 goals in their final game of the season to make the playoffs in the ninth tier of the Midlands League. They did just that. The attendance was 56 and they beat Bewdley Town 12-0. This is the magic of football and I love it. Absolutely fantastic. Right, 2 seconds. I'm just going to bring something up on the screen. Oh, man. Right, if you can still hear us, let us know, right? Because mine's crashed on this end, which isn't brilliant. So hopefully I can actually stop this stream. And apologies, I was literally just about to bring this to an end. So my computer has crashed. Never mind, I'll snip this off the end. Anyway, vote for the Green Party if you can still hear us. And yes, that would be a good thing. My God, will you stop? Right, catches later. I'm going to try